Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the word that you have for us tonight. I thank you, Father God, for every person that is with us. I thank you, Father, that you are answering our prayers. I thank you, Father God, that you sent rain to the valley. I thank you, Father God, that regardless of what we see on the outside, you are doing a deep work on the inside. I pray tonight, Lord God, that as we release this word, as we share, Lord God, what you put upon my heart for tonight, that you would ignite faith in the heart of each one of the people on this line. Settle things around us and help us, Lord God, to engage with you and see the victories that lie ahead. I thank you, Father. I thank you. In your precious and most holy name, amen. Praise God. Well, tonight I want to share some things with you. And, you know, part of prophetic advancement is to not only thrust us forward in the plans and purposes that God has for us, but to ignite our faith, to hold on to the promises of God. This is the hour that in some situations we've got to hold on to him with all that we have. Because if we were to look at what's going on around us, we might very well think the world is coming down around us. Last week, Mom shared about what's coming and gave a very powerful prophetic word about the next few months. And I thought it was quite interesting because the Lord had shown me a few things for the next few months. And I knew that they were going to be difficult times, a time of intensive shaking. And as I continued, when she shared what she shared, I was glad that she shared that part. I got to be honest with you. She does such a beautiful job with it, but it was a heavy message. It was a heavy message. So what we got last night in that encouragement of what God is about to do, it was very exciting. But as we pray about these things, and as we seek the face of the Lord on critical issues, when we know that shaking is coming and we know that difficult times are coming, we've got to remember something, is that God knows each one of his children. He knows us. He knows where we stand. He knows the path that we've been on. He knows what it's taken to strengthen us enough that we can withstand the shaking that we've been in. He would not have allowed us to come to a place unprepared. That's not the God we serve. The God we serve prepares his people. In fact, he's been preparing us for 20 years for this moment, so that we could be strong enough, stable enough to withstand the shaking and be a strength to those around us. This is where we are, and this is how the Lord shines his light upon his children. This week, as I was preparing for this particular message, the Lord took me back to the vision that I had last year. Now, this was given to me September 21st of last year, and I was praying for the nation. I was up early in the morning, and as I often am, but sometimes he wakes me up even earlier and says, I just really got to settle things around you. So this is just over a year ago that he had given this vision to me, and I saw it was the 21st of last year. I saw an eagle flying across the country. He had a flag clenched in his talons. He was strong and his flight was intense, but he was weighed down. I saw a spirit of deception swirling visibly around the flag as it flew. And as I looked past the flag, I saw five weights attached to the end of that flag. They were round and appeared to be like a cast iron. They were attached to the flag, weighing it down, but they were also connected to one another. Those five weights were the media, academia, bloodletting, religion, and the spirit of compromise that deeply impacts the church, and communism. So as I prayed intensely in the spirit, the weights began to fall off the flag one by one. The eagle was jolted when the first one broke off, but he recovered quickly, and the next weight quickly followed, and they all began to snap off like you'd expect something connected by bungee cords. When the first one snapped off, it seemed to trigger the others, and they came off one after the other. When the last weight fell, the eagle soared across the nation. And rather than being fatigued or wearied by the weights, the eagle had been strengthened by his efforts to fly under the weight. He was not weary. He was strong. And even though his flight was no longer strained, he flew with great determination, and the flag flew behind him with a vibrant color and strength, the cross shining through the red and white colors of the flag. As he flew across the nation, I heard it was like a sonic boom as the eagle completed his flight across this nation. He continued his flight around the world, and as he entered the border of a nation, another sonic boom could be heard, and I witnessed the spirit of communism break off that nation. With each passage, he brought strength and freedom to the people of this nation. On July 7th, President Trump filed a lawsuit. That's of this year, 2021. He filed a lawsuit against Big Tech. And that morning, the Lord spoke clearly to me, the media. And this is actually what he said to me: the first ball's about to fall. And I asked him, what? I said, well, he said, the first ball is about to fall. And the Lord reminded me of that vision. The first ball is the media. And that's why so often we will go after the media in our prayer. The media is it involves all forms of media, from Facebook to Twitter to the news to the newspapers, all of those industries. Hollywood is involved in that as well, because they do a lot of programming and brainwashing of our young people through their programs, thus the term programs. So since then, numerous lawsuits have been filed against media outlets by key individuals. Kash Patel, who was President Trump's chief of staff over at the Pentagon, or the Department of Defense, James O'Keefe of Project Veritas, and the list goes on, each filing numerous lawsuits against mainstream media. So why am I sharing this right now? Because as this shaking continues, we need to remember what we're holding on to. We need to remember what God is doing in our nation and what is on the other side of this. On the other side of this are the promises of God. There's so much corruption in our nation that you cannot bring forth the promises of God without uprooting the corruption. And you can't uproot the corruption without a great deal of shaking. We cannot uproot the corruption without a great deal of shaking. Last year, when we were having a time of prayer in our 10 days to Pentecost, I saw, as we prayed over truth, over thou shalt not lie, and as we prayed over that and we began to plant the sword of truth in our nation, I saw the surface of our nation all over the country cracked. We each planted a sword, and for those of you that were on that line with us, everywhere that we were, we did a prophetic act to plant a sword of truth where we stood. When it, as soon as that sword went into the earth, and those cracks spread out across the country, I saw the Lord come through and begin to sweep that surface stuff off our land. I knew that we were going to come into a period where it would be intensely difficult for the people of God. Now, there's often a time when the Lord will tell us that there's going to be a struggle for us. We're going to experience this or that sort of thing. And then there's times when the Lord says it's going to be a time of shaking, a time of difficulty, because it's going to be so extreme to understand the complete picture would be overwhelming. In 2019, the Lord told me that 2020 would be the year of shaking. And you guys can remember that if you've been following this and been on our calls with us, you'll remember me saying that. I wasn't the only prophet that was speaking that out. Mom had spoken about this, and there were other prophets that were sharing the same thing. Why? Because God was trying to reach every one of the children, his children, who would hear the voice of the prophets, to anchor themselves into him. Because if we are not adequately anchored into him, we cannot withstand the shaking. We simply can't. But he was calling out to his children, because what was about to happen was something that was so great. It was the final push to uproot the spirit of communism from our country. When fishermen go out and they do the big, you know, those big blue fish with the big, you know, pointy thing. I think they're called sailfish or something like that. I watched this documentary one time of these fishermen that went out. And if Ken were on this line, I'd ask him to tell me what kind of fish it was. But they go out and they gear up. They prepare for this. And when they get all the way out to sea where these sailfish are, and they see them because they jump out of the ocean in a beautiful arch like we see the dolphins do. In a beautiful arch, they're strong. They have the weight greater than a man. But these fishermen, that's like the big feet, right? The big one. So they'll get out, and they've got these specialized fishing poles and these reels that are specially designed to withstand a fight. And so those fishermen, when those fish start to jump out of the sea and they've got things ready for them, they will come, and they have a harness that they'll wrap around themselves. And that harness, it's a leather harness. Sometimes it's a Velcro, but it's got to be incredibly strong. They will wrap it around themselves. It goes around their waist, over their shoulders, and it has a metal hook right in the center of it. And they will take a chain and they will anchor it on the deck of the ship. And they will begin to fish. And sometimes it will take three or four men to hold that man in place while he reels in the big one. If he's not anchored, that fish only has to do one fell swoop, one big jump, and he will take that man right off the boat with him, and he will just keep on swimming. We have to be anchored. The Lord said, this is coming. Prepare yourselves and anchor yourself to me. Anchor yourself. Put on your harness. I've prepared you for this. I've fully trained you. Anchor yourself to me. Because I need you to pray this nation through. Some might think, why this nation? Because this nation is a nation that was founded by people who were escaping tyranny. This nation was founded. We've talked about the Huguenots before. We've talked about the martyrdom of the Huguenots before, who would not bow the knee, but instead were slaughtered on the soil by the tyrannical leaders that they fled from to come here and be safe. We've talked about our founding fathers who nearly two centuries later were here ready to fight against tyrannical leadership. My mom wrote a powerful article called The Great Awakening of 1700s, wherein she describes the Great Awakening that was taking place in the earth at that time and how it paved the way for the birth of this nation. And in order for us to have the birth of this nation, we had to war against tyrannical leadership because they were coming for our country. And instead, they anchored themselves in for the fight of their life because they knew if they did not win the Revolutionary War, it would be over. All of them would be hung, and the hope of the future, that a nation that would grant them and their posterity the right to worship God, would be lost. So they anchored themselves in for the fight of their lives. So when the Lord says, a great shaking is coming, his intercessors who have been trained, who have been equipped, need to get a hold of God and get their harness on. Because they're in for the fight of their life. We are here to stand in the gap for a nation that is about to be set free from tyrannical leaders. What we see taking place with the Democratic Party, you know, they use a really nice word, socialism. It sounds really good. And people can even say, oh, the early church, that's how they did. They all sold what they had and they all had what they need. You put that in the hands of corruption, and you have absolute control of the citizens of that nation. We are fighting against the spirit of communism, which is the most vicious, bloodthirsty thing you can imagine. What do we think drove men like Stalin, men like Hitler, tyranny? That was tyranny at its very worst. Few people stood up against the tyrannical leadership of men like that. Sophie Scholl was a young woman, and I was talking to a friend about her because I have a friend that is standing up against tyranny, taking a stand for righteousness. Sophie Scholl was a young girl who grew up in Germany. Hitler was there. He was rising strong and in power. her brothers, and she joined the youth groups that would have been raised up, brainwashed, to be a part of Nazi's army. She would have been trained in how to raise her children up to join Hitler's army. But in the process, there was an awakening that took place in them. And they saw the tyrannical leadership that was rising up over them as they sat under the courses that would have otherwise brainwashed them. Something rose up within them and provoked them to resist the enemy. Sophie Scholl distributed literature. She was a part of I think it was called the White Rose, and they distributed literature to teach young people how to think for themselves, how to read other material like that of the arts and the Bible. The more she learned, the more she walked down this path, the more she understood about the tyranny that was oppressing her nation and would spread the world over. She worked tirelessly to educate the young people, because when you get people at 18, 19, 20, 21 years of age, this is the prime age to grab a hold of them and set them on the course you want them to walk on. So if you were a person that's wanting to lead them into communism, then you were going to make sure they're being taught, trained, educated by people that believe in communism, that believe in socialism, that believe in Marxism. Whatever ideology that you want to impart to them, you have your best chance at grabbing hold of them and creating activists if you can hit them at that age. That's why so many of our colleges are filled with teachers teaching children, our children, what a wonderful thing socialism is. What a wonderful path the path of Marxism is. If you really want to fight for something, this is the path you walk on. Sophie saw this. And she refused to submit to it. Her and her brother both worked to distribute literature. They put them in phone books. They put them under the desks. They put them all around discreetly where young people would hang out, where young people might find them so that they might awaken and begin to resist Hitler. Can you imagine a 21-year-old coming against someone like Hitler? But she did. In her own way, she spread the truth. Her final act was to distribute them in the very center of the college. Just as it was about to get out, they threw a suitcase of pamphlets out and they flew across the atrium. Because the soldiers were coming for her and her brother. They were captured and they were put in jail where they would be tried by a judge that was fed his directives through the communist leaders. There was no real rule of law. He was told the decision to make. And in one day, Sophie Scholl and her brother were questioned. They responded, but the two of them refused to give anyone else up who helped to either print, to write, or distribute their literature, warning people about the path Hitler was taking their nation on. They went, they were tried, and they were convicted, and they were both executed the same day. Within hours, it was all over. Sophie Scholl, this brave young girl, she has many powerful quotes. One of them I had in my kids' classroom. I homeschooled them when they were little. And it said, stand up for what you believe, even if you're standing alone. Sophie Scholl. She may have been alone in the natural, but her faith in God kept her anchored in the midst of the shaking. The man who carried out her execution, he carried out the execution of thousands during Hitler's reign. And he said, never before had he seen one so brave come before him. Never before. This is the life of a girl who stood for righteousness, who found herself anchored in God, and who refused to bow the knee to tyrannical leadership. When we come together, we think, well, we don't really have tyrannical leadership. Well, you know, in just a few months, Biden has, in his fraudulent position, has signed off on countless abortions. He has opened our border wide, where we have massive amount of human trafficking and drug running and weapons running taking place. They've got ships off the coast of our sea that they will not come and deliver necessary supplies. Hundreds of ships are off the coast. Why? If those ships can't get here, I can promise you no ships are going out. They call America the breadbasket of the world. The Central Valley is the fruit basket of the world. How are we getting food out? Do you know there's many countries that don't grow their own food? These are the leaders that we have right now. So when the things that my mom shared last week, the things that the Lord has shown me that I've shared, when we talk about this, we talk about this so that when you hear it, you rise up and you anchor yourself to that boat. You put your harness on, you anchor yourself to that boat, and you get ready for the fight. Because let me tell you, you may feel like you're standing alone, but you're not. You're standing up for what you believe, and the Lord Jesus Christ is standing right beside you as you battle something that weighs more than you, that seems stronger than you. But the Lord is by your side, and there are hundreds, dare I say thousands and thousands of intercessors who are standing with you. This morning I was in prayer, and the Lord took me up over the nation. And as I look down on this nation, I saw his intercessors standing. I saw them. And they had the light of the Lord shining through them. But do you know what was reflecting on them? The American flag. Because of what it represents. It represents a stance against tyranny. That's why they are trying to destroy it and encourage the burning of it through the Marxist organization of Black Lives Matter. Because they're trying to quash the patriotism that is so vibrant in this country, and they don't even realize what they're doing in this hour. It's provoking the spirit of patriotism in the heart of every believer in this nation to rise up, anchor themselves, and gear up for the fight. And as we do, our fellow fishermen are rallying around us to support us while we bring in the big one. Because when that happens, we're going to see the media fall. We're going to see bloodletting come to an end. We're going to see academia cleared up. And my friends, in the end, we are going to see the spirit of communism broken off of our nation. This is the fight. And we have made tremendous headway. And even though it may not seem like it, the reality of it is the ground has broken up. And we are clearing the path for the mighty promises of God to come through. The mighty promises of God to come through. And every scripture that you know about being refined as silver should be flooding your mind right now, because you are the beautiful vessels of God. The beautiful vessels of God that He is refining in this hour. Because He told me last week, I am preparing my vessels for a new sound to come up from this nation and into the throne room of God, a pure sound, His people to cry out, His people to worship, His people to declare the word of the Lord, a new sound, pure. As I shared last week about rebuilding a nation begins with the house of God, right now He is creating within His intercessors vessels that release a new sound into the throne room of God. This is the beauty of the hour in which we live. It may be difficult. You may really feel like you're in the middle of the ocean anchored to a boat. But let me tell you, what you're really anchored to is the greatest rock you'll ever know, and that of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has you in His care. And He has your children. He has your grandchildren. He has your family members. And every single one of them are in His sights. And His fight is alongside us to set this nation free. Set this nation free from tyranny. Once and for all, hold your ground, my friends, because we are almost there. We are almost there.